I felt like a cigarette. I felt like a cigarette after this weekend of NFL. My sympathy goes out, of course, to Carlo Colaiacovo. He's the Bills fan. But closer to home, my sympathy has to go out to producer Austin, who is a Tennessee Titans fan. Austin, my man, how you doing?
Oh, Sunday was a rough day. Sunday was a rough day. It's always worse the day after the big loss. I do believe that you used that cigarette analogy for the Raiders-Chargers game, Week 18, the final one of the season.
That's right.
I had a lot of the same emotions after this weekend that I did after that one. So I think you're very apt with that analogy.
And where did you watch the game? And how did your friends reach out nicely, or were your friends a bunch of bleep holes?
I have to say, I actually, right when that McPherson field goal went in, I got about 7 texts, and they were all actually very supportive. I was expecting the worst from my friends, but looks like I got a good group, a lot of support there.
Okay.
A brutal loss. Brutal loss. I was at home, Matt. There might be a hole in the wall. Ryan Tannehill might owe damages to the city of Toronto, but we can get into that later.
Yeah. By the way, okay, I didn't even know if you were going to... This might have been the coolest piece of sound. And it's Joe Burrow, the Bengals quarterback, talking about his rookie kicker, Evan McPherson. Here's Joe Burrow explaining what was going on in Evan McPherson's brain right before he kicked the game-winning field goal.
Talking to Brandon as he was going out to kick, he gave a little warm-up swing, and he said, looks like we're going to the AFC Championship, right before he went out there to kick it. I mean, we knew exactly what we had as soon as he walked into the building in camp, and we just saw how he carried himself.
I know, I'm not doing this to rub dirt or anything or to get at you for there, Austin, but that's pretty cool if that's actually what happened with the rookie kicker having that level of confidence.
Yeah, it sucks losing to someone who makes it really hard to hate them for how cool they are. And the team's really cool. They've got a certain swag to them, the Bengals. And it sucked. It just absolutely sucked. It was a game the Titans outplayed the Bengals, I thought, at every position except for one, the quarterback. And in the end, that's all that mattered.
Kind of a big one. Yeah, the game started with an interception and ended with an interception. And in the middle... Oh, there was interceptions. All right, enough about that game. Why waste it? Let's get to the big story. Let's get to the Bills and the Chiefs, and that's the subject of my opening thought.
Time now for Matt's opening thought.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I break your concentration?
And here we go.
I mean, it's really nothing more than a self-absorbed monologue, a chance for Matt to rant about something and pretend he's a serious radio personality instead of a gas bag. Let's face it, he stole this idea from Dennis Miller.
Now, I don't want to get off on a rant here.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
It is so rare in life when you go into a game with high expectations, and not only were those expectations met, those expectations got smashed out of the park. Because that was last night's game. 42-36 overtime win by the Chiefs over the Bills. We went in giddy. We went in with high expectations, and that game was even better than advertised. I mean, that is one of the greatest playoff games ever. You could argue the single best game, and I'm nervous about doing that because we have a tendency to anoint whatever is the latest is the greatest. But damn, it's hard to come up with a better game. Some were saying, hey, the Patriots come back against the Falcons in the Super Bowl. I get it. Stakes were higher. But the Patriots were bad for over a half. Maybe you can do Pats, Eagles. But it still was Nick Foles. Doesn't part of this have to do not only with the quality of play, but who are the players? In this game, both teams were great right from the start. There was no lull. There was no stretch where one team was being badly outplayed by the other. Here's how good and big that game was last night. It overshadowed the where will Aaron Rodgers go conversation. It overshadowed the what's next for Tom Brady. It made us forget how bad Ryan Tannehill was. Or wait a minute, why is A-Rod in Green Bay dancing like a fool? Seriously, do we have an answer to that? What was A-Rod doing there? It's like, where in the world is Carmen Sandiego? Except it'd be more likely that A-Rod would be in San Diego than he would be in Milwaukee. That was weird. Anyway, here's the thing. It would be an insult to all the players on the field to get into conversations like, who is to blame? Who blew it? I'm not here for the conversation on should the NFL change their overtime rule. I mean, the answer is simple, yes. But can we have that conversation later? I don't care about the, and I saw this headline, should Tyreek Hill have been penalized for making a peace sign while racing down the field? Well, first, it's a peace sign. That's a nice thing. And second, who cares? I'm not even here for should the Bills have squibbed the ball to the Chiefs at the end of the game. I mean, yes, the right call would have been the squib, but really? Am I going to dump all over Sean McDermott for allowing Kansas City to have enough time to run two plays instead of one? That's what it came down to. Ah, you gave him time for two instead of one. Really? You see, this game was about two quarterbacks playing at the highest level when the stakes were near the highest. Let's face it. The winner of this game was going to be the team favored to win the Super Bowl. And guess what? Kansas City's favored to win the Super Bowl. If Buffalo had won the game, they'd be favored to win the Super Bowl. Man, Bills fans, how you guys doing today? I hope you're okay. Those quarterbacks combined for over 700 yards, 7 touchdowns, no interceptions. They both led their respective teams in rushing. Their quarterback rating was a zillion. There was 4 lead changes in the final 2 minutes. Mahomes threw for 188 yards and 2 touchdowns after the 2-minute warning in the fourth quarter. Josh Allen did everything he was asked to do. Down 23-14 late in the third. Gorgeous 75-yarder to Gabriel Davis. Down 26-21, less than 9 minutes to go. 17 play, 75-yard drive. Bills lead by 3. A minute left. Down by 4. Fine. 6 plays, 75 yards. Touchdown, Davis again. This time from 19 yards out. Poor Josh Allen. This stat. In the playoffs, he had 9 incompletions total. He had 12 incompletions. He had 9 touchdown passes. Almost as many TDs as incomplete passes. It's ridiculous. The Bills' 6th leading receiver, Gabriel Davis, 201 yards, 4 touchdowns. Playoff record, 4 touchdown catches in 1 game. You had that quote when Andy Reid saying to his quarterback, when it's grim, be the grim reaper. Go get it. Also, I hope everyone got to watch this game with someone. I know that's something we do less often because of COVID. But damn, that's something we need to start doing more and more. Get out of your home. I know the muscle memory is don't leave, but watching the game with people made that game better. I watched that game with my closest friend. He is a massive Chiefs fan. He's been a Chiefs fan his whole life. He was wearing a Mahomes jersey. His wife was wearing a Christian Okoye jersey. The wife's closest friend was over. She's a Patriots fan. So we got to laugh at her about the Patriots losing last week and Brady losing earlier in the day. Oh, it was glorious. During that game, we're dancing like idiots. We're dejected. We're happy. We're miserable. And in the end, we're dancing like idiots again. I picked up their big, stupid dog, Lucy, and running around in a circle. I'm 46 years old. Once again, the NFL wins. All 4 games, as mentioned, ended on a final play. Walk-off field goal, walk-off field goal, walk-off field goal. Kelce touchdown in overtime. First time in 1 postseason round that's ever happened. To the Bills fans out there, Carlo, I'm talking to you. I'm so sorry. I would say take solace in the fact that your team was part of the greatest game ever played. You got a quarterback that can win a Super Bowl. Not a lot of teams can say that. But I know today is not a day for taking solace. There was gut punches across the league. Packer fans saw their team lose in a game they didn't give up an offensive touchdown. Titans realized they're doomed with Tannehill. But for the rest of us, what an incredible weekend. What an incredible game. It was so good that for at least a moment, that game was so good that please, everybody, just try your best just for today. Don't play the blame game. Don't complain about overtime. Don't speculate on what quarterback is going where. That KC Bills game was so good, it deserves a moment to stand on its own. Let that game breathe. So did you hear that Mark Dominic on the morning show said that Aaron Rodgers will end up in San Fran? What? And that is my opening thought.
I'm finished.
Like, I don't know. What is your biggest takeaway? Is it the making fun of Dak Prescott? He had 14 seconds. Mahomes had 13, and he was able to get it done. just the overall quarterback play. I mean, there's so many different angles. The overs won all over the place, unless you had Stephon Diggs, who had like 3 catches for 7 yards. What, like, you look at the box score. What a weird game.
Oh, just an impossible game, too. That was a joke on Twitter. Everyone was saying, is I can't give Patrick Mahomes 12 seconds, but it turned out it wasn't a joke. It was true. Like, it was absolutely amazing what they did. And I think you're right. You can't focus on the squib kick, whether or not they should have, the defense they played, and then the overtime rules. Just focus on that final 2 minutes. Like, it was just absolutely incredible. I want best 2 out of 3 for that one, Matt. That feels like whoever won that game is going to win the Super Bowl. I could be getting ahead of myself a little bit, but I want them to run it back and do it again.
Oh, yeah. This is what you do. Next week, apologies, Cincinnati. And Joe Burrow, you've been great. And by the way, Ja'Marr Chase.
They should tackle him. Learn to tackle Tennessee. Don't start,
pass.
Matt.
I'm sorry. But apologies to Cincinnati, but we're just going to have Buffalo and Buffalo and Kansas City play again. And if Kansas City wins it, they go on to the Super Bowl. If Buffalo wins, instead of a Pro Bowl, the week after, we have part 3.
Love
Who
it.
Says no to this?
I love it. Get the trilogy going. Get Don King in here to promote it. We'll get the whole 9 yards going. My biggest takeaway, too, is just, for the losing teams in this weekend, it got progressively worse. The Titans' loss was an absolute heart-wrencher. For the Packers to lose with the 49ers not scoring an offensive touchdown, my goodness, I couldn't imagine being a Packers fan. For the Bucks to lose after coming back like that and then having the Greg Williams zero blitz there at the end, Todd Bowles, what are you thinking? My. And then the Bills' loss, that is one of the most gut-wrenching. I was with a Bills fan, and there were tears. There were tears, Matt. It is such a hard loss for a downtrodden fan base. It's just, it's impossible to recover from that. But you know what? You got to take solace in the fact Josh Allen's 25 years old. You got him signed up long term here. I don't think the Bills are going anywhere. I really don't.
Yeah. Oh, no. That's it. That's the main thing. If you are a Bills fan, I want you to cling to Josh Allen. You have that. Okay? Like, you've got that. But you're right. It was gut punches everywhere. Everywhere. Like that. By the way, that San Francisco Green Bay game was horrible. That was a horrible game until the end. A bad, bad game. I like the Bengals-Titans game more. Now, I can watch it. I can watch it without emotion and just sit back and chill out and watch that game. But and then that Rams game, like, didn't you feel like, oh, God, it's happening.
Yep,
it's happening.
Yep, exactly.
And then, like, Mike Evans beats Jalen Ramsey. And you're like, oh, God, it's happening. And then Akers fumbles again. And then Fournette, you're like, oh, God, it's happening. Like, we all have the same image of, like, wait a minute. At some point, doesn't Tom Brady, doesn't he get to have bad things every now and then?
This can't be the Falcons Super Bowl again. No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, it wasn't to be. That was calling that blitz. I mean, Todd Bowles is lucky that game happened after, because there'd be a lot of heat on him leaving the best receiver in the NFL, letting him just do a go route. Covering him over the top with a safety. Terrible. Terrible, terrible, terrible.
But on this show today, because I've seen, you know what's trending on my Twitter account? The word squib. Just the word squib.
We do, and overtime. We got to talk about both of those.
We will, but they will be discussed. But I'm not doing the who do we blame thing. That game was too good. That game needs to be celebrated. You know, okay, so we'll address it. We'll address some of the controversies. We'll get to some of the best sound. Enoch Mwamba, the Argos linebacker, is going to be joining us again at 1:30 to break down what we saw. And we also got to play the Andy Reid. Like, the Andy Reid sound is great about all things Grim Reaper. That is coming up in just a moment. You are listening to Gameplay right here on TSN 1050. Welcome back, everybody. This is Gameplay. I'm your host, Matthew Kaz. If you're a Bills fan, if you're a Packers fan, if you're a Titans fan, my advice, don't do too much reading about anything going on in the world of sports. Maybe avoid your favorite podcast, your favorite football podcast. Find something else. Find every couple of years, I rewatch a show like Veep or 30 Rock. Do something like that. All right, let's the overtime rule conversation. Let's first hear the sound, because I thought Josh Allen nailed it. The Bills quarterback, who has 12 incompletions and 9 touchdown passes in the playoffs, was asked about the overtime rule.
The rules are what they are, and I can't complain about that, because if it was the other way around, we'd be celebrating too. So it is what it is at this point. And we didn't make enough plays tonight.
Ouch. It is what it is. Nothing worse to hear from your favorite athlete than that. And yes, it is a shame we never got to see Josh Allen with one more opportunity. 329 yards, 4 touchdowns, 68 yards rushing. He was incredible. And let's face it, we kind of knew whoever got the ball was going to win, because both defenses were gassed, just running up and down, up and down, up and down the field. KC wins the coin flip, 75 yards on 8 plays. Kelce touchdown, bada bing, bada bang, game done. Buffalo had their moment, had it ripped away from them, and Kansas City got it done. To me, there's not much conversation here. They should change it. One team scores a touchdown, the other team, both teams should have an opportunity. But at the same time, the other side is, hey, you got to stop them. You got to stop them. You didn't. If I had a vote, I'd say, yeah, I'd like the overtime rule changed. I would have said that before this weekend's game. But, I mean, I don't know how there's not that much conversation on the other side. Like, what's the pushback on the other side for this?
Well, to play devil's advocate here, Matt, I think that if you can't hold the team to not get in the end zone on one possession, you can't hold them to a field goal, do you really deserve the ball back? Like, if football is the ultimate team game, we all agree with that. It's not about offense. It's about offense and defense. So if your defense can't get a stop there on the Chiefs, do they deserve to even have the ball back? Why? You just got to hold them to a field goal. It's not a touchdown. So that's the other side of the argument, where I think it's a team game, both sides of the ball. Your defense, if they can't stop them, you don't deserve to win.
Yep. And that is the other side of the argument.
But Josh Allen should touch the ball. It's kind of ridiculous. Yes. Like, that is how I actually feel. I can see both sides, but I think Josh Allen definitely deserves to touch the ball.
You mentioned offense, defense. You missed part of it. You missed special teams. Give me the Troy Aikman sound. This is Troy Aikman. This is pregame Packers, 49ers. Here's what Troy Aikman had to say.
I know coming in, Kyle Shanahan, we talked about the advantage, and what did Matt LaFleur tell us? I just hope our special teams doesn't screw it up.
And they did screw it up. They screwed it up big time. The 49ers beat the Packers 13-10. And if you're Green Bay, you're thinking to yourself, how the hell did we lose this game? We got Za'Darius Smith back. We got Jaire Alexander back. The 49ers are the fourth team since 2000 to win a playoff game without an offensive touchdown. By the way, teams that hold opponents to without a offensive touchdown are 34-3 in the playoffs. They're now 34-4.
Jeez. What a way to lose. That's the worst loss for me, to not have an offensive touchdown.
Yeah.
To have the game completely changed on a block punt, something you see so rarely. And then if you watch that play, too, the 49, like, no one knew where the ball was. A block punt, I've never seen a block punt go higher in the air. Yeah. And it just landed so perfectly for that 49ers, and it's just a terrible, terrible loss.
Jimmy Ward blocking the field goal at the end of the first half. And again, that block punt, oh, my God, did the Packers get pushed back? Like, the middle of their defense, the middle of the wall of men whose job it is to protect the punter, they got pushed hard and quickly on that play. The block punt touchdown tied the game at 10. And then on the game-winning field goal by 39-year-old Robbie Gould, Green Bay had 10 men on the field. Oh, my God.
Imagine cutting Robbie Gould. Yeah. Sorry.
What's that?
Imagine cutting Robbie Gould, thinking that he's washed up.
Yeah. Was that the Bears?
That was the Bears. Yep, that was
so
the Bears.
So the Bears cut him, and then he goes on to beat the biggest opponent of the Bears.
The Bears have had 6 kickers since they cut Robbie Gould as well.
The sneaky part that's going to get lost, and let me tell you, there's a lot of things that are going to get lost from this weekend, because we're just going to focus on Buffalo, Kansas City. Where did the Packers' offense go? Their first touchdown drive, they didn't have a third down. 10 plays, 69 yards. first down, second down, first down, second down. Ending with an A.J. Dillon 6-yard touchdown run. After that, lost fumble, punt, 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 blocked field goal, punt, field goal, punt, block, punt. That was their offense. 193 yards, zero touchdowns in the final 54 minutes. But then the really sneaky bad moment of the game, Aaron Rodgers. And listen, the biggest goat, special teams for Green Bay. Second, that offense, and Aaron Rodgers. So, go to the fourth quarter. Second down. The Green Bay Packers are up 10-3. On second down, Josh Norman is in the game. And injuries to the secondary of the 49ers. Josh Norman is not a good cornerback. He's not played a lot of football. He's guarding Davante Adams one-on-one. Rodgers misses that pass. Third down, Rodgers is sacked by Eric Armstead. Leads to a punt. That is the punt that is blocked. Now the game is tied at 10. And, you know, we should focus on the special teams or Armstead with a great play, but rewind it a little bit. You've got second and seven. I forget what it was. You've got the best receiver in the game being guarded by a below-average corner, and Aaron Rodgers misses that pass. You know, we talk about game, you know, the game of inches. You know why we use that cliche? For that second down play that gets forgotten.
Yeah, and it's completely forgotten, too, and that could end up being the pivotal moment in the whole thing. You're right, too, because Adams had him on a go route, and he just underthrew him by a slight amount.
Yeah.
It was absolutely brutal. One thing I noticed with the 49ers, though, is they took away Adams so well, and I think that really affected Rodgers, whereas the Chiefs did the same thing with Diggs, but what did Josh Allen do? He just found Gabriel Davis over and over again, so it's interesting to see how one quarterback kind of adjusted to losing the main target, whereas Aaron Rodgers looked completely lost out there as soon as they started bracketing Davante Adams.
Yeah. Oh, no, you're right. That's a good point. And how did Green Bay lose? Early in that game, George Kittle dropped what would have been like a 35-yarder. The Juwan Jennings drops it. The San Francisco, I tell you this. I give you this. Because the key with San Fran, keep the game close. The offense started with four straight three and outs. They had, at one point, they had like 9 or 10 plays and minus 10 yards. Jimmy with an interception in the red zone area. Remember, they would get near the red zone, and then the penalties kept forcing them back. Elijah Mitchell stuffed on a fourth down run near the goal line. Like, we could do a list of everything San Fran did wrong, and they just beat the number one seed in Green Bay.
Yeah, and then to segue on that point, you could make a list even longer, what the Rams did wrong, and they beat 7-time Super Bowl champion Tom Brady.
The Rams are doing their best. They're like, here, we're just going to keep three and outing or fumbling the ball.
And in our own side of the field as well, like setting you up perfectly.
Oh, good for Matt Stafford, who was both good and bad yesterday, but the numbers were fantastic. All right, Enoch Mwamba is going to join the show. 3-time CFL All-Star, 2019 Most Outstanding Canadian in the league. He's going to join us next. And we'll get his take. What is it like as a defensive player watching that football porn that we watched between KC and Buffalo? It's coming up next right here on Gameplay. Welcome back, everybody. This is Gameplay. I am your host, Matthew Kaz, joined now by 3-time All-Star in the CFL, Most Outstanding Canadian in 2019, Argo linebacker Enoch Mwamba is joining us. Enoch, thanks so much for being on the show today, my friend.
Thank you for having me, man. I'm excited, man. How excited are you? How was this football weekend?
I had a cigarette. Like, last night afterwards, I was just like, I need to have a cigarette. Like, it was incredible, fantastic, orgasmic, everything in between. Actually, I'm curious. Let's start here with you. As a linebacker, what game did you enjoy more, San Fran and Green Bay or Bills and Kansas City?
It's so hard to say, Matt, because literally, I mean, I'm talking about as a linebacker, as a fan, I watched every game, and after each game, I said, nope, this was the best game of the weekend. Nope, this was the best game, and all the way until the end. And if you were to ask me that question, to answer the question, I think it was the very last game, obviously, because of everything, the highs, the lows, and everything that happened, and you thought the game was over, but it really wasn't, and it kept on going and going. So I would say the Kansas City game was the best one, but all of them were amazing.
Oh, yeah. No, they were. Okay, even you, as a linebacker, okay, then let's start with the big one. What did Buffalo do wrong on that two-play drive? Kansas City was able to move it like 40, 50 yards in 12.8 seconds for the game-tying field goal. What did they, just through the eyes of a linebacker, what should they have done differently?
That's a great question. And it's always been a big dilemma. At the end of the game, you have the lead. What do you do? And it's a defensive play that a lot, and every team has on their playbook. It's called prevent defense, right? But I've had a coach earlier on in my career who always used to say, look, I don't play prevent defense. And if we get in a situation where we're up one, we're up three, or we're up 20, and we got to get on the field, we are going to play defense. He always used to say, prevent defense only prevents you from winning, and that is the biggest thing that happened at the end of that game for the Bills. And the other thing as well, I would say, the other thing that I would say as well is I feel like the defensive coordinator for the Buffalo Bills actually lost faith in his guys on defense, right? And again, that's one of the reasons why he wanted to play prevent defense. Now, look, what happened previously, right before then, Tyreek Hill just took over the game for the Kansas City Chiefs. But what he did was he beat a cover two man, which is where you're man to man down low with two guys up top, safeties that are going to just cover you if any mistake happens. Tyreek, obviously with his speed, he was able to outrun every single angle, including the safety. I feel like the defensive coordinator should have called the same play, the same call. Although he wasn't successful the previous time, he should have had a little bit more faith in his defense, in his guys, and just call that. And look, if they catch the ball within the first 10 yards, that's fine. Let's tackle and play another down. But they all backed up. And like I said, I don't think he trusted his defense.
It was an incredible game. And you know what I don't want to do? Actually, I don't want to even do the blame game because these games were so good. I just wanted to sort of appreciate for them in the moment. How tough would that Buffalo Bills locker room be afterwards? As you've been on both ends of winning and losing, Enoch. How tough is that locker room after a game like that?
It's complete agony. It's excruciating pain that you feel in your heart. And I mean, let's be honest. Any loss going forward, starting last week, they're all going to be hard, right? But this one felt like it was hard twice as much as anybody that's going to lose in the next few weeks going forward, just because of the fact that they had it in their hands. They had it in their hands. Their quarterback played a game that you can only dream of. The offense showed up. Defense played as well as they could against an MVP level type quarterback. And you had the game in your hands in a hostile environment. I promise you this, Matt, all of the Buffalo Bills are waking up today, pinching themselves, asking themselves that question. Did last night really happen? And unfortunately, the reality is it did happen.
Moving over to maybe the other most compelling game, we'll try to get to all of them in this conversation. We're joined by three-time All-Star Enoch Mwamba from the Toronto Argonauts. If you are a Green Bay Packer defensive player, how are you feeling this morning?
You're mad. You're really mad, you know, and at the end of the day, I always say this, like, at the end of the day, whoever you bring on your team, you know who they are, but they have to be who they are consistently from the beginning until the end of the season. If you're on defense, you know that you have to hold your own because who you have on offense is a proven guy, a quarterback that's done it, that's been there, and you expect him to be who he is or who he's been in that particular game on that particular day. And my perspective is I don't think that Aaron Rodgers played his best game, and I think he said that in multiple interviews after the game as well. And he didn't show up. And for a defense to play the way that they did, special teams to flop the way that they did, and Aaron Rodgers, again, like I said, you got to remember this, Matt. If you're a quarterback, everything starts and ends with you. And as a defensive player, we know it. We understand it, and we accept it. We have to do the dirty work, and we have to live with the fact that offense gets all the praise. The quarterback will get all the praise, even when it's a defense that shows up. But at the end of the day, if they don't show up, if the offense doesn't show up, to me, at least to me, you have to point the finger, and he has to know that was his mistake. There's no way around this time.
Yeah, and the one play that stood out, and I talked about in the opening segment, we go back to when Green Bay got the punt block, when San Fran blocked the punt, got the touchdown, tied it at 10. Two plays earlier, Josh Norman, who hasn't played a lot, is not a very good corner anymore, he's on the field, and he's one-on-one with Devonta Adams. Rodgers misses that throw. Third down, Rodgers gets sacked. Then the block punt touchdown. Like that way, if I could isolate one play that stood out about Aaron Rodgers and just the bad game he had, it was that play.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the truth is, it was throughout the game. This is Aaron Rodgers, the bad man that everybody knows who he is. And he didn't show up. Let's be honest. He did not show up. I don't care what the weather was like at Lambeau. It's been worse weather, and he's put up way more points than just 10. And he didn't. He did not show up. He didn't do his job. And I could care less really about what happened on special teams. Yes, they didn't do their job. They didn't do a good enough job in order to give themselves a chance. But at the end of the day, you're Aaron Rodgers. You've been at Lambeau Field forever. You should have been putting up way more points than you did last night. And to be honest with you, another thing, Matt, I think that there's too many things that happen in that game. And too many times we do not allow the quarterback to take the blame. To me, Aaron Rodgers has to take all of this in, and this is his fault. And I don't mean to point the finger, but that's just the reality.
Oh, yeah. No, he had a bad game. The offense had a bad game. It starts with the MVP. He wasn't able to adjust. And tons of credit to San Fran and their pass rush and their defense. But if you're the MVP at home, you got to generate more than 10 points. The grass is not always greener, as we talk about it. I'm curious, if you're Aaron Rodgers, why do you leave? Like 13 wins 3 years in a row, number one seed 2 years in a row, a lot of talent, and also this division is weak. You go to Vegas or Denver, well, now you got a division with Mahomes and Justin Herbert. Like, if I'm Aaron Rodgers, you could talk about thinking about it. I'd be very careful about leaving.
You're absolutely right. You know, there's a certain level of comfort that you have when, you know, you stay within the same building and you, play with the same guys and you deal with the same management, you deal with, you know, the same coaches. There's a level of confidence and a level of comfort that, you know, comes with that. But after some time and you get into games like these and it's almost a similar way that your seasons continue to end, you start to scratch your head and you wonder, like, is there better? And can I experience anything other than just this? And to me, at least, and even management, I would start the conversation and say, hey, what do you think about a possible trade?
I just careful. This one, and I get it, and sometimes, you know, you have to move on. I would just say be careful what you wish for because, suddenly you could end up in a much worse situation. Hey, we talked before about prevent defense and how it can prevent victories. What are your thoughts on the on that final blitz call in the Rams-Bucks game? And the Rams, they did everything to give that game up, but they win 30-27. But that the blitz where the Buccaneers sent six, and that led to like the 40-yard completion to Cooper Kupp. What were your thoughts on that defensive call?
I mean, it's a gamble, you know. At the end of the game, again, it comes back to trust that the defensive coordinator has on the players. And one of the reasons why he dialed up the pressure is because he wanted to put pressure on the quarterback, obviously. And what you do then is you're giving a guy like Cooper Kupp a one-on-one. And if your quarterback is smart enough to feel the pressure, and when it's a plus-one blitz like the way that it was, as long as he's able to identify and buy himself a couple more seconds, at this level, at this high level of play, it's so hard to ask of a defender to guard a receiver in an open field the way that it is. There's so many things that could possibly happen, and he was in the slot. So he could have ran any potential route. And so Stafford, kudos to him. He was able to identify the extra guy and take the hit, be brave enough and courageous enough to understand exactly where the free rusher was going to be, and puts the ball exactly right where it needed to be for Cooper Kupp.
It was a hell of a throw. And by the way, like, at what point in that game were you thinking, oh, Brady's going to do it? It's 27-3, and then suddenly the fumbles, the punts, the mistakes, and you look up and it's tied at 27. How were you feeling late in that game?
That's exactly what I was doing. I was just looking at the clock, looking at the point differential. And I was wondering to myself, is he going to do it? Is he going to do it? Now, you got to remember, when I was with the Indianapolis Colts, I was on the wrong side of the Deflate Gate, but I've had the opportunity and, you know, the privilege to play against the Tom Brady back when he was still with the New England Patriots. And I'll tell you what, it's hard to play against a guy of that caliber. But once you get to a place in a situation where you got him where you want him, you have to execute. You have got to execute. And they just didn't do that. We have a group chat with a bunch of my roommates from university, and that's exactly what happened. When it was happening and there was a little bit of time left in the clock and the mistakes were starting to happen on by the Rams, they were saying, hey, guys, I think Brady's coming. And we have a saying usually when a game is about to be done, the fat lady's about to sing. And we usually talk about she's getting ready. And somebody says she's getting ready, but I was like, I don't know. She's not listening. Tom Brady is not listening to what she's saying right now. And it wasn't over yet. When you're playing against Tom Brady, the game is never, ever over. He has such poise. He's so calm. He has ice in his vein, and he's been through this for, what, a 22-year career? Nothing fazes him.
Yeah, you know what? You know what? I forgot that. Yeah, you would have faced off against him. What was the week like? Just being in the film study. What was the week like as a defensive player leading up to a game against Tom Brady?
It's by far the hardest week to prepare. Absolutely the hardest. And you got to remember the Colts have the rivalry with the Patriots for years. And you know, it's one of those games. It's not a playoff game, but whenever it's ever scheduled, it feels like a playoff game because of the history that it has. And so, you know, Peyton Manning wasn't in the building anymore. It was Andrew Luck that was our quarterback, but it didn't matter. That game was the most important game. And when you came to prepare, I mean, you could sense it from the coaches. You can sense it in the city. You can sense it by the veterans that were in the locker room. And it was an important game. And we played them once in the season, in the regular season, as well as obviously as the Deflate Gate playoff game. That we should have won, by the way. But, you know, it was hard to prepare for just because, again, you're playing Belichick, you're playing Brady. They don't make mistakes, and you just try to pick up. There's so many things. Once they cross the 30-yard line, you got to be aware of certain plays. And once they cross the 40-yard line, you got to be aware of certain plays. When they're in your side of the field, you got to be aware of certain plays. They're just so well coached. And again, Tom Brady does not make mistakes, and you know, obviously this is the reason why he has such a successful career. But it's definitely one of the most difficult weeks, if not the most difficult weeks that you have to spend preparing mentally, physically, and then you have to go out there and actually execute. It's extremely difficult to play against a Tom Brady team.
You think he comes back next year?
I think he comes back. I think he comes back, and it's a question that was asked to me as well in the same group chat. I think that he comes back for the simple fact that, to me, and I don't know, you tell me, correct me if I'm wrong, actually, Matt, I didn't see a drop-off in his talent. I didn't see him struggling to move. In fact, I even saw him running a little bit. If I'm not mistaken, I think he had one of his best rushing career seasons that he's had in a long time. I mean, the guy doesn't look like he's lost a step. And again,
no.
As a quarterback, you don't have to run fast, but he's extremely accurate. There's still zip in his throws. He makes the right decisions. What more do you want? It's his decision. I think he comes back. I think he should come back. And for the betterment of the team, like I said, I hate the Patriots. I can't stand Tom Brady, but I have a lot of respect for him.
He led the NFL in passing yards. He was one of the top in touchdowns. Yes, he absolutely has not lost a step. He could come back next year if he does indeed want to. Hey, Enoch, really appreciate. Hopefully, let's make sure we get you on next Monday, and we'll talk about the NFC-AFC championship games. There's no way they can be as good as what we saw this past weekend and what we saw last night. I'm good if it's 75%.
I don't think it will be, but if it is, Matt,
wow.
We might have to, everyone just has to take a day off for the following day.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm looking at it here. There's now a lot of snow coming down. Everyone should take the day off. In fact, if you don't have to be at work, be at home. Hey, Enoch, all the best, my man. And again, I forgot to mention last time, for people out there, if you want to get tickets and stuff for next season, Argonauts.ca, easiest spot to go. And we will chat soon, my friend.
Absolutely. All right. See you next week, Matt.
Take care. That is 3-time CFL All-Star, 2019 Most Outstanding Canadian, Enoch Mwamba. Producer Austin, I'm debating. Do we just stick with football? Do you want to call an audible for the next segment? You know, let's stick with football. Stephen A. Smith. Going full Stephen A. after Aaron Rodgers and the Packers lose to the 49ers. It's fun sound. We'll start there on the other side. I'm Matthew Cause. You are listening to Gameplay right here on TSN 1050. Yeah. Come on. Welcome back, everybody. This is Gameplay. I am your host, Matthew Cause. You know what? Let's start here. I want to pat myself on the back. 5-1 in the first round of the playoffs. I went 3-1 this past weekend. Could have been a clean sweep, but the Titans fan, producer Austin, got into my head and I switched the pick. Let's hear the montage of me actually doing well.
S-M-R-T. I mean, S-M-A-R-T.
In the end, I think the 49ers lose, but I think they cover the 6-point spread.
They've done studies, 60% of the time, it works every time.
I am taking the Chiefs over the Buffalo Bills. Apologies to Carlo Colaiacovo.
Bang!
Underdogs, I'm getting 3 points in Tampa. Give me the Rams.
I'm kind of a big deal.
Really?
People know me.
He said, Mateo, never bet on Ryan Tannehill. But you know what I did? I slapped him. Every team's got warts. So give me the Tennessee Titans taking the 3.5.
What else I can say? I don't know what else I can say. And if you want me to say I f***ed up.
No.
Write it.
Matt, you and Jim Calhoun.
Yeah, well, I screwed up on that one. The weekend got off to a tough start for me and you. I had the Titans. Well, let's talk about that game just for a moment.
We don't have to. It's okay.
We're not going to talk about it a lot, but the first interception, that was a bad one. Play action, fooled no one. First pass, Jesse Bates with a pick. Third quarter, Tennessee the ball first and goal to 10, 6:48 to go. And that was right after that 54-yard run by Deonta Foreman. But that was not as much. That's kind of on Tannehill. But that was a great play by Mike Hilton, just jumping up, deflecting the pass, picking it off. And that was in the third quarter, excuse me.
Tracking
fourth
quarter. Yeah.
What's that?
Tracking it, too. It was a great play. Tad wish Tannehill would have seen the DB blitz come and throw a pump fake in there, but it was a great play.
And then the last one, the Logan Wilson interception that set up the game-winning field goal. First off, there was 28 seconds left. But that was not a great throw by Tannehill. Eli Apple was able to recover and was able to knock the ball in the air. Two of those are on Tannehill. You got that. You got the wasted chance, 7:21 left in the game. Bengals stuffed Derrick Henry for a 2-yard loss. And then the other issue for me in that game is nothing but Tennessee, but what the hell are the Bengals going to do in terms of pass protection? Burrow got sacked 9 times, like full Ed Rooney in Ferris Bueller's Day Off, 9 times, like tying an NFL record.
And none of those sacks were his fault. They were all pressure right away off the gap, not him holding the ball too long, not him putting his offensive lineman in a bad position. They're in trouble, but Joe Burrow is an absolute baller. He just stood in there, took the hits, and delivered it. And he got the pass protection on the last play like he needed. I thought Bill Cowher said something really smart after the games, and this could apply to the Packers game too. It's your strengths that get you into the playoffs, but then it's your weaknesses that eliminate you in the playoffs. And I think that's true with the Titans and the play of Ryan Tannehill, and I think that was true with the Packers and their special teams.
Block field goal, block punt. On a day where San Fran did nothing on offense. Garoppolo got lucky. Garoppolo absolutely got lucky. He had a couple passes up there that fluttered around, and it looked like they were going to be intercepted. Should mention on Sunday morning, like, everyone was on the Rams at PointsBet, at Caesars, at some of the other sports books. It was 55, 53, 52% of all the money was on the Rams. Only at BetMGM, where 58% was on the Bucks. And that game eventually went off as Bucks favored by 2.5. We grabbed it at 3, but the Rams won outright. Road underdogs went 3-1. Probably should have been 4-0 if Buffalo held on to that lead with 13 seconds left, up 36-33. It was the lowest average margin of victory in NFL playoff history. And my advice is, you got to throw that away depending on what you're going to do in the AFC-NFC championship game. You know, like, we went into the playoffs round one. It felt like it was a week to take the favorites, and that played out. This past weekend, it felt like the dogs. You know, of course, I'll say this right now. Who's taken Cincinnati? The line opened, Chiefs favored by 6.5. It's now at 7.
Yeah.
And by the way, at 11:34 p.m. on Saturday, before the Chiefs-Bills game had been played, it was already looking like the hypothetical lines was Kansas City, if they had beaten Buffalo, and this was at the time we didn't know they were going to, they were a 6-point favorite. They were being projected that if KC beats Buffalo, they would be a 6-point favorite against Cincinnati. Then Kansas City beats Buffalo. The line opens at 6.5. It's now all the way up to 7. Joe Burrow looked good. Like, the one interception, that was not on him. That was a crazy play that could have been called an incomplete pass, but that was a hell of an interception. Burrow's played great, but who's taking Cincinnati?
See, Matt, it's too early in the week. I'm not going to obviously place any bets this early, but you need to remember these two teams did play in week 17 with full-strength rosters, right?
Yep.
And Cincinnati matches up really well with them. It really just depends on how much they want to use Joe Mixon, I think. He's kind of their secret weapon. They used him on their first drive out of halftime, went right down the field and scored. He needs to get over 25 touches because I think that's a huge asset for them.
Yep. And, well, of course,
it's 7. I mean, it's still Kansas City, right? And I have a hard time thinking that Cincinnati's going to present any sort of a challenge for them.
Well, I mean, Bengals right now plus 800 to win the Super Bowl, 49ers plus 450, the Rams at plus 210, and remember, the Super Bowl is in L.A., and then the Chiefs are the favorite right now at plus 125. I think you got to...
Remember week 8 when the Chiefs were plus 1,200 to win the Super Bowl? It's amazing how fast things can change sometimes in the NFL. It really is a league that is ever-evolving.
They cut down on their turnovers. Chris Jones got healthy.
Yeah, it just might be that, right?
Yeah, sometimes it's as simple as that. All right, on the other side, we will switch to the other Toronto sports. Fill you in on what happened to the Raptors this weekend. I don't blame you if you missed the Portland game. In fact, probably was the right move. And some big moves. Well, no, I'm not going to do hyperbole here. But some interesting moves with the Leafs' lines. We get into that in just a moment. You're listening to Gameplay right here on TSN 1050.